1017 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. If you are just now tuning in, today we've been having a conversation surrounding the education system, but not any regular conversation. We are talking about whether or not schools have the responsibility to notify their parents, their students' parents, about conversations surrounding non-binary gender identity and pronouns, right? And we have a caller on the line. Leia, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you so much for calling in. So I have two questions for you. The first question is, do you believe that schools should reach out to your parents, the parents, regarding non-binary conversations or gender identities? And also, how do you feel about it?
So I do think the school should notify the parents because I think it's inappropriate, for one. God made us to be female or male. So there shouldn't be no, I'm not a female and you're obviously a female. I personally don't judge, but I feel like that's not okay.
And how old are you, Leia?
I'm 16.
Okay, so this is your personal opinion and you are, you have the right to feel the way that you feel. Everybody does. But when we're talking about the education system, and let's say is this conversation comes up to you, right? And no one has asked you or notified you about it prior to it happening. Or if you go to school one day and one year and you see a teacher this way and come back the next year and see a teacher a different way, how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel confused because I knew you as either Mr. or Mrs. Now you're different. Now I might slip up and say something. You probably get offended. Now, it's not uncomfortable, but it is kind of weird.
The point, one of the things that you just said that I want to acknowledge is that it may be an accident. Like, you may accidentally call that teacher, you know, what you're used to calling them, and then it becomes you offended me or, you know, whatever the case may be, which is unfair, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think the best solution is about this when it comes to this?
I really don't think there is a solution because people are who they are. And like I said, I'm not going to judge nobody on who they are because, I don't think God would like that. And I'm very God-fearing, and I love the Lord, and it's just not in my blood to judge someone. So it's not uncomfortable, but it is off.
Yeah.
And I feel like people that are non-binary or trans just need a little God in their life.
Thank you so much, Leia, for calling in. So Leia is, she says she's 16 years old, and I think, and again, we're talking about a 16-year-old child. So when y'all make comments regarding what she said, be mindful that she is still a child because I would chew you out if you come at her, right? First and foremost, she's still figuring out. A 16-year-old young lady is still figuring out who she is, any 16-year-old boy or girl, right? And from what I just heard, the way I interpreted it is not that she's saying it makes her uncomfortable in a sense of she's judgmenting them based off of their decisions, but it makes them uncomfortable because they're caught off guard, right? That's like anybody. If your boss call you and say, hey, can you come to work at, you know, an hour early? You bound to be like, hell no, because you didn't ask early enough. You calling me 30 minutes before I'm supposed to go into my shift. If you would have called me 5 hours early, I might have would have told you yes, but I'm caught off guard. So again, it's like, it's all about communication. It's all about, and I'm glad that she said what she said, not because it's an attack against anyone, but it proves the point that I mentioned earlier. People have different belief systems, including kids. Students have different, youth have different belief systems. So not only are you not respecting that, you're not respecting them as a child. And this is the environment that they are in. Again, we are not saying that We feel a way towards anybody who is trans or a part of the community. We're simply saying, hey, if you're going to have this conversation with these students, you need to notify the parents or notify both them and the students ahead of time that you guys will be talking about this so that parents can prepare their child. Not every child understands what's going on. Not every child is privy to this information or in this environment. When you put them in this space and you tell them that they have to adapt and then get mad when they don't know how to because you never explained it to them or you didn't even give their parents a chance to explain it. You're just throwing it on them saying, this is the environment, you have to accept it. If you don't like it, so what? And then that leads to mistakes that she mentioned. If I know my teacher to be this way and this year they're this way and I accidentally call her Mrs. or call him Mr. and then they're going to want to kick me out of class when really it was a simple mistake because I'm so used to saying this. And then guess what happens? They get sit right on down to the office. And guess what happens after that? That goes into their student file that we was just talking about earlier. And guess what happens after that? When they go to college, that's going to be on their student file as well. You catch my drift? There is nothing wrong with a conversation, period. There is nothing wrong with having a simple conversation, right? And I know it's difficult. It is extremely difficult. But we have to have them and we have to hold each other accountable. It's not putting nobody on blast. It's not excluding a specific person based off of whatever it is that they want to be. We are simply talking about the babies. Everybody is so caught up in the way systems should be and you have to respect this and that. Okay, we get it. We know that. But allow these children a moment to digest what it is that you're sending their way. That's all I'm saying. Give them a moment to even understand it. They already have to be around it. Give them a moment to understand it first. And again, this does not apply to every child or every parent or every school or every staff. But for the schools, the parents, the staff that it does apply to, yes, I'm talking to you. Yes, I am talking to you. A lot of our students, too, that are experiencing this are seniors in 18. Who's going to shut them up? Who's going to quiet them? Who's going to tell them that they're not entitled to ask questions or whatever the case may be? When that parent, when I seen that parent, I was like, I seen the way she was looking and how she was feeling. And I might get chewed out for this, but I got my big girl panties on. I felt her. In my soul, I felt her. I promise I did. Because our job is to protect our children. If there was a registered sex offender working at the school, or nope, let me take that back. If there was somebody who was, if there was a registered sex offender working at the school, wouldn't you be notified about it? If there was an altercation, a riot or whatever, wouldn't you be notified about it? I think as adults, we know what we should and shouldn't be communicating. And sometimes we get a little too comfortable with titles and power. And we believe that this is the way I want it ran. And again, we have conversations all the time. I talk to my students all the time about their relationships. But not to be in their business, I talk to them about it because I was their age. I try and understand so I can help them learn how to communicate because guess what? They're going to do what they want to do regardless. The best thing I can do is tell you how to control your emotions, how to control what you're thinking, and how to properly communicate. So yes, not every conversation in school is going to be about the curriculum. I get it. You're there to teach them, but also teach them in real life as well. But I gotta say it, We got to stop forcing certain stuff on our babies, man. I'm going to say it. I promise you I am. We have to stop forcing certain things on these children and then wonder why they calling in saying they confused. That's why they confused, Robert, in the chat. You asking a 16-year-old girl what's confusing about it. That's what's confusing. They don't have enough time to digest everything that we're throwing at them. But yet, we as adults and educators are still making the point that they need to make the right decisions. Gotta do better. We have to do better, period. So to, again, any parents out there, man, start paying attention to what's going on a little bit more inside of your child's school. Especially if you're someone who runs a strict household. Because, again, whether you're a Christian, Muslim, whatever, atheist, it doesn't matter, whatever you are. You have the right to whatever you believe in. And if it's anything that goes against that, you have the right to not want your child to be a part of that either. You also have the right to want your child to be a part of that if that's what you choose to, whether it's right or wrong. But at the end of the day, the choice, you should be a part of that. You should be a part of that decision when that information is released. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We got to go to break. Do not touch that dial. 101.7 The Truth. Mag Lab. 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct at the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. If you are just now joining us, we are having a conversation about whether or not schools should be responsible for notifying parents when they are going to or attempt to have conversations about non-binary gender pronouns, right? And this situation came about because there was a parent who came up to the school for one reason, but because staff was there and she finally was able to reach someone, she expressed her concerns about why that took place and she was not notified. And again, we're not blasting anybody, but we're having a real conversation. As a parent, I believe that we should be notified, right? And before I close this conversation, I want to make my position clear because I don't want what I'm saying today to be misunderstood. For me, this conversation is not about telling another adult how they should identify or how they should live their life. That's simply their business. My question is about children and schools. And I believe that parents should know what their children are being taught, period. If a school is introducing concepts surrounding gender identity, non-binary identities, or the use of pronouns beyond he and she, I believe parents should be informed in what is being taught, when is being taught, and how it is being presented. That doesn't require me to attack anybody. It doesn't require me to defend anybody either. Because my concern in this conversation is not about someone else's personal identity. My concern is where the line should exist between the responsibility of a school and the authority of a parent. Schools have an enormous responsibility. We send our children into those buildings for hours every single day. And we are trusting educators with some of the most impressionable years of their life. That trust requires transparency. And I don't think parents should have to find out after the fact that their child has been introduced to something they consider a significant social, moral, and personal subject. You can disagree with me about that. That's a conversation for another day. And I'm completely okay with that. But here's where I'm landing. Education should not require secrecy from parents. If something is appropriate to teach a child in a public school classroom, then it should also be appropriate to tell them that tell that child's parent exactly what was taught. That goes back to me also putting accountability on the parents. When you go to these parent-teacher conferences, ask to see the curriculum so you can have a better understanding of what exactly it is that your child is learning, especially if they are a child who are in high school, because nine times out of 10, they don't really need help with the homework. And a lot of the notifications and information comes to you, but not as much for a child who may be in elementary or middle school. But the point of the matter is parents shouldn't have to choose between trusting their child's school and knowing what their child is learning. Give parents the information and let parents parent. All right? Simple. Give them the information and let them decide on whether or not they are okay with their child receiving that information. That is called respect. How much, if you're an educator in a position to, and again, I don't want anyone in leadership to feel like this and is an attack, because I am not a person to tell somebody how to do their job. But my advice would be, respect the parents, respect the guardians, respect the families enough. It doesn't just have to be about non-binary pronouns. It could be about whatever the case may be, whatever it is. Give them the proper notification, especially when it's something sensitive, because if you don't, it could backfire. If a parent hasn't had certain conversations with their child, especially about sex, let alone about non-binary pronouns, what gives you the right to talk to their child about it first? What gives you the right? You don't have a right. You don't have a right to talk to my child about something that I have not even talked to them about yet. I don't care what society shows them. I don't care. It's still my choice. You don't know what's going on inside of my household. You don't know what I am teaching them. You don't know my religion. You don't know what my belief system is. Give me the opportunity to tell my child whatever it is that I need to before you decide to have this conversation with them and other students in front of everybody. Shout out to, I think it's Belly's Free. Say exactly. Actually check the curriculum. Yes. Check the curriculum. If you go to the parent-teacher conference, they're not going to tell you. They're going to show you test scores and behavior, but they're not going to show you the curriculum. And if you're just tuning in, I also told you guys to make sure that you get your child's educational record. When my son was in fifth grade, some boy kept bothering him, and he got into a fight to defend himself, and his white teacher jumped in the middle of them and ended up getting hit. And she wrote in his file the same thing a police officer will write in a police report. And he was only 10 years old, defending himself. And ain't nobody tell her to jump in the middle. And if she did, you know that you're bound to get hit. But the moral of the story is, what they send you is not what goes inside of your child's records. You need to obtain that. I don't care if it's school. If you're at work, get your employee file. Especially if you're somebody who stand on business. These are documents that you need to have because they follow your child everywhere they go. If they plan on going to college, it follows them. Especially if they're athletes. We was just reading the FERPA and it was saying that there's stuff in, if your child is an athlete, they have stuff in their file about them getting a damn ticket. And we sitting here oblivious. We don't even know. Because nobody is giving us this information. Get in their business. And once you learn that curriculum, research who's on the board, you start coming to these staff members and asking questions. How are y'all teaching my child about non-binary pronouns but not Black history? That would be my first question. Not something that they actually may identify with. Something that they may not identify with and something that some may be uncomfortable with. Let alone you haven't even taken the time to ask my child how they feel about it. Or better yet, you haven't even notified me. This has nothing to do with who people choose to be, what life they choose to live. This is a parent of my oldest daughter is gay. And still consider herself a girl. So I'm not being biased. I have these conversations all the time. I know that sounds like when white people say, I got a black friend. I'm just being honest. I'm saying that because I'm speaking from experience. It's nothing I did. It's nothing nobody in our family did. It's nothing that nobody in my household did to make her the way that she is. I still don't judge her, but I also know, and she knows this too, we have conversations about this all the time. You're not just going to tell my child anything. And half of the time, hell, when she was in school, she'd be sitting there like, Mom, they be doing too much when it comes to the non-binary pronouns. And she's a part of the community. They be doing too much. They didn't even, and they ain't even tell you. I'll be like, wait, hold on. Y'all talked about what? What happened? And ain't nobody called me and said nothing. Oh, I'm on my way up to that school office. You better believe it. If I didn't even have a chance to have this conversation with my child yet, because she's not ready and I'm not ready, but you, no, that's a problem for me. I will pull up so quick too. So again, just as much as I'm holding educators accountable, I'm going to hold the parents accountable too. Do your due diligence. Start asking these questions. Start popping up to the schools if you can. I understand PTO may be a little bit difficult. Your life, your work life may be set up a little bit differently. But if there's any chance that you could take 1 hour, if you can take 1 hour off of work just to pop up at that school, go do it. Pay attention to what teachers are there, who's running that school. Ask as many questions as you want to. Have conversations with your child and their friends live in the classroom in front of the staff. Do it all. I do it. Listen, I am the queen of that because I need to understand you have my child for 8 hours a day. They have our babies for 8 hours a day. There is no reason why we should not be more aware of what exactly is happening. And to the parents' defense, the only way we can be aware is if we know. So that means to the students, to the young people, make sure you are notifying your parents about certain things as well. A lot of y'all do, but continue to do so. Continue to have these conversations with your parents, especially if it's something that makes you uncomfortable. Again, that's not the story or the situation for everybody, but it has come up numerous of times. So what do the kids do when they feel uncomfortable? They just got to put up with the stuff? What do they do when it makes them feel a way they don't know how to feel? If they accidentally say the wrong pronoun, all hell may break loose. Then what? What do they do? Oh, come in my office and let's talk about it. No. No. That's not the solution either. Because it's not going to help the situation. And if you think it's not happening, this is a real thing. This is happening right here in the city of Milwaukee. We are really dealing with this in real time. We got to go to break. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 1017 The Truth. Violation. Hey, did you violate it? One on 1017 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. And for the past 2.5 hours, we've been talking about education system, and I just want to, you know, leave it there, right? So for this final hour, I want to completely switch gears, because the man who runs this country, I refuse to call him our president. The man who runs this country currently has made two major moves in the last 48 hours, and one of them just happened today. One sounds almost unbelievable when you hear it first. The other involves something much more serious, which is the security of the electrical system that keeps this country running. So we're going to talk about both. But first, he has officially signed an executive order directing the federal government to rename Lake Ontario one of the five Great Lakes. What does that mean? That means that, sorry, y'all. My voice just did what it always do when I be running my mouth too long. But basically, he renamed Lake Ontario to Lake America. I'm laughing because then he just named the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. What's next? Lake, he gonna change the name of Lake Michigan too. I think that dude just be bored. I think he just be waking up bored, trying to find something to do. Don't got nothing to do, so he throw his weight around. Hey, today I'm just going to, I've decided to change Lake Ontario to Lake America. Yeah, Lake America, that sounds about right, right? And then yesterday, he declared a national emergency involving America's bulk power system because his administration says foreign-produced electrical equipment could potentially create vulnerabilities inside the American power grid. Now, that's something that got my immediate attention. And we are not talking about your electricity bill being too high, although we need to, because there's articles about that as well, that apparently pretty soon our energy bills are going to increase and skyrocket once again. We're talking about national security, though. We're talking about transformers, generators, substations, control systems, software, remote access, and potentially even equipment that could contain vulnerabilities, allowing somebody outside this country to interfere with critical infrastructure, which they already have because they've been hacking the water systems in like 9 different states at the same time. So it sounds like we've been dealing with this for quite some time. I guess he just decided to finally do something or say something about it of this magnitude. So before we leave today, we are going to go underneath both headlines, and I'm going to start with this whole Lake America thing, right? Dude that run this country signed the executive order today. So this is new. It happened today, August 27th, and I want to explain exactly what happened because social media is probably going to reduce this to just simply jokes and memes, but these are serious conversations, and the body of water we are talking about is Lake Ontario. It's one of the five Great Lakes, Superior, Michigan, Huron, Erie, and Ontario, and Lake Ontario sits between the United States and Canada. So New York borders it on the American side, and obviously Canada is on the other side. The dude that runs this country, executive order, directs the Secretary of the Interior, working with the U.S. Board of Geographic Names, to take the steps necessary to change the federal American name from Lake Ontario to Lake America. And the order gives the Interior Secretary 30 days to take the appropriate actions. So the federal names information system is supposed to be updated, and eventually federal maps, federal documents, and federal government communications are supposed to reflect the new name. But let me give you a very important distinction, right? The dude that runs this country cannot make Canada call it Lake America. This is where the jokes come in at, because how slow can you be? How slow can you be? That's why I say it's like he just wake up and he be bored and he just like, hey, I'm going to do whatever it is that I want to do. I don't have nothing to do with my time. How about we just change the name of Lake Ontario to Lake America, right? This is an international body of water. The executive order controls what the United States federal government calls it. It doesn't give the president authority to walk across the border and tell Canada, y'all got to change our maps to Lake America. So we could actually end up in the situation where the United States government calls it Lake America while Canada continues to call it Lake Ontario. And this is where this becomes bigger than just a name, right? Why is he doing this? According to his executive order, the administration's argument is that the United States has made enormous contributions to protecting, maintaining, and economically developing the Great Lakes. The order specifically points to the Coast Guard. It says the United States Coast Guard supplies 9 of the 11 ice-breaking vessels operating on the Great Lakes. The administration also says the United States has invested nearly $4 billion over the last decade protecting the Great Lakes freshwater ecosystem. So his order also emphasized that Lake Ontario's importance to American history, military activity, shipping, and energy. But there's another layer. This is happening while relations between the dude that run this country and Canada are extremely tense over trade. So earlier this week, he publicly floated changing the name while discussing that the trade relationship was deteriorating. And Canada actually got beef with him, right? And today he actually did it. So what he's doing is what he always does. He's being antagonistic. He's antagonizing and he's having an ego battle and a battle and a pissing contest. And he's doing it because he feel like he can. And this is how beef start. This is how issues happen with trade, with the trading system, with the economy, with wars, with all of the above. Every time his ego is bruised, every time someone doesn't do what it is that he wants them to do, he begins to take action. And he's taking action in a way that does not necessarily benefit the citizens of this country, which is a problem, right? And we know this. I'm not saying anything that you guys don't know, but this is the problem. This is a problem. This is a huge, huge problem, right? So Milwaukee, obviously, we're a part of the Great Lakes, right? We are sitting on Lake Michigan. So I know somebody listening right now is thinking, Jazz, don't give this man any ideas about changing Lake Michigan, right? Leave our lake the hell alone. We already have enough going on over here. But seriously, this raises questions about presidential power, national identity, and history, right? And how much does this name actually matters? How much does it matter to history? So, again, I don't know who's advising him outside of the, you know, political advisors he has, because apparently he can't be listening to them. I know none of them fools over there told this man to do that. I know he had to do that on his own, but this is just, you know, surface research. When I seen this, I wanted to speak about it, also about the power grid situation. But as the week goes on, I want to continue researching this because I'm really interested in learning how or what potentially can happen if we have beef with Canada, right? So I know y'all know about martial law, and I've said it numerous of times, right? He's already started beef with so many other countries where it is extremely difficult for Americans to maneuver in and out of, right? Now what? Canada? He did it with South America, Africa, Iran, the Middle East. Now Canada is going to get so bad, so much to the point where we're not going to be able to go anywhere. For real. That's why I'm talking about this. I'm not talking about this to make jokes. You know, I'm not talking about this because it's just the latest news headline. Whenever I talk about things, it's because I want y'all to understand the bigger picture and see what's actually happening. He is going to make it so bad to the point where we don't have anywhere to go. And when all of these countries decide to retaliate, we are stuck. I'm not saying that this is going to happen. I'm not saying I know that this is going to happen. These are just simply predictions based off of his ego and behavior. It doesn't make no sense. Doesn't make no sense at all. But the second Trump story is the one I really want you to listen to, because yesterday the president of the United States, but I call him the dude who run this country, declared a national emergency involving America's power grid. And I don't want you panicking, right? This does not mean that he announced that the grid is currently collapsing, right? Although we can never trust 100% of what the media tell us, right? The emergency involves the potential national security threat posed by certain foreign produced equipment already connected to or potentially entering America's bulk power infrastructure. And when I read what equipment they are talking about, they're talking about transformers, generators, industrial control systems, software, firmware, remote access capabilities, battery storage systems, equipment supporting critical infrastructure. Then I saw the two words that should get everybody's attention: digital backdoors. So we got to go to break. When we come back, I'm going to explain exactly what the White House says that concerns them, and what the dude that run this country just gave the energy secretary authority to do, and why artificial intelligence is actually a part of this conversation. Gotta go to break. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. One on one, 7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct, looking to discover and support local businesses in our community. Then make sure you tune in every Friday at 8 a.m. to Truth in the Morning with Homa Blow and Bailey Coleman for What the Business Is, powered by We Energies. Each week, you will hear from local business owners as they share what their business is, where they are located, and one valuable lesson they've learned along the way. We Energies is proud to help power local businesses in the communities they serve. Don't miss What the Business Is every Friday at 8 a.m. only on Truth in the Morning with the legendary Homa Blow and Bailey Coleman, powered by We Energies, delivering the energy that powers local businesses. Before we went to break, I was telling you guys that yesterday, August 26th, the guy who runs this country signed an executive order titled Declaring a National Emergency to Secure the United States Bulk Power System. And here is what that means. That means that the bulk power system is essentially the large-scale infrastructure responsible for generating and transmitting electricity across the country. Okay? We are talking about the backbone, not simply the wires running from the pole outside into your home. His order specifically says its definition includes transmission infrastructure rated at 69,000 volts or higher, while excluding the facilities used for ordinary local distribution of electricity, right? So this isn't an executive order about somebody's neighborhood transformer going out after a thunderstorm. This is just about the major infrastructure, period. And why is this a threat? Well, according to the executive order, the administration believes certain foreign actors could exploit vulnerabilities created by foreign-produced electrical equipment. And the White House identifies two major categories for concern. The first one is cybersecurity and sabotage. And that's obvious because they've been hacking the water systems, right? So the executive order specifically raises the possibility that equipment could contain what is called digital backdoors that could potentially allow a foreign country to remotely access the equipment. What does that mean? That means that the modern infrastructure isn't just metal and wires anymore. It's computers, it's software, it's firmware, it's sensors, remote control system, and networks. So the concern is that if it is potentially compromised, technology gets embedded deeply enough inside critical infrastructure, somebody could have another way into the system. So the order identifiers risk include sabotage, unauthorized access, malicious remote action, and supply disruption. Here's the second threat: supply chains. So let's say America becomes heavily dependent on another country for a critical piece of electrical equipment. Then something happens. Let's say we have a war, a trade war, sanctions, everything shuts down, right? The shipping gets disrupted. All types of things start just falling down, falling apart. That is a national security vulnerability too. And that's part of his agreement. So the administration says America's dependence on electricity is increasing dramatically because of several reasons. Advanced manufacturing, defense protection, and something we've talked about continuously on this show, artificial intelligence and data centers. AI requires an enormous amount of computing power, and computing power requires an enormous amount of electricity. So as America races China and other countries in AI, right, we're talking about artificial intelligence, the reality and the reliability of America's electrical infrastructure becomes even more important. And this is where I want everybody listening to connect some dots. So national security in 2026 doesn't only mean tanks or fighter jets and soldiers. It means electricity, computer chips, data, telecommunications, satellite, software, right? The entire infrastructure. So what equipment are we actually talking about? And I actually went through the executive order because I wanted to know what the administration had to say about the bulk power equipment. So listen to some of what's covered. Large generators, small generators, backup generators, battery energy storage systems, grid-connected inverters, high-voltage circuit breakers, industrial control systems, protective relays, metering equipment, and then it goes even further. The government can consider the software and firmware associated with the equipment, remote access capabilities, maintenance systems, update mechanisms, and other supply chain dependencies. So when you hear the story described as the dude running his country declaring an emergency over foreign transformers, understand it's much broader than that. So what can the government do now? Here's probably the most important part of what he just did, or the story overall. What does declaring the emergency actually allow the government to do? The order invokes two major federal laws, the National Emergencies Act and the International Emergencies Economic Power Act, called IEEPA. So under his order, certain transactions involving foreign-produced bulk power equipment can be prohibited when the Secretary of Energy determines the equipment involves covered foreign entities and create the kind of unacceptable national security risk identified in that order. So that means acquisition, importation, transfer, installation. But here's where it gets even more significant. The order doesn't only look forward. The Energy Secretary can also impose conditions involving certain foreign equipment that was already installed before yesterday, before the executive order went out. So depending on the risk, the government can potentially require equipment to be identified, isolated, monitored, secured, disconnected, replaced, or removed. Now, the order also requires the secretary to consider reliability and safety before directing equipment to be disconnected or removed, which is important. But you can't necessarily just walk in tomorrow morning and unplug it, right? Nobody should hear national emergency and run home thinking somebody told you to stockpile candles tonight. However, I am. I'm not saying candles. But what I am saying is that I've had this conversation many times, many years ago, and everybody said I was a conspiracy theory and so on and so on. Everybody is so busy buying all of these materialistic items. And it's not that you can't. It's not that I can't. It's just there's so much happening in this world right now, especially this country, that we are not genuinely prepared for. Some of us. Right? Everybody's stuck on social media. Everybody's stuck on electronic devices. Everybody is stuck on these babies don't even know how to move without GPS. Imagine if all of that went away. Then what? Come on, man. We're going to finish this conversation tomorrow. Thank you so much, Truth Nation, for rocking out with me today. Y'all can check out one of my old songs that Z is playing right now, entitled Shine, featuring Mikey V, produced by Business Boy. Make sure you tune in tomorrow, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Have a safe, amazing evening. Peace and love. Gift by any means without sacrificing who I truly am. Cause when that pain hit, I rhyme different. But when I let that pain go, I start to shine different. I won't ever switch up, got many reservations, hesitations, a conversation, avoid annihilation, had dreams to rule the nation, the greatest creation was me, let them heavens be, I'm the one these cats wanna be, if we were made in his image, then call us by our names, I'm a god, we are not the same, I cannot relate, tell them get on my level, I'm a rebel, but we're the cause, got a shovel for the devils who won't let the power of laws be, see I'm the truth, if you think otherwise, you a fool, I got a scar on my chest, I got proof, could have been dead and in jail, but instead I rebelled, and so I made it out of hell, I shall prevail.
Just like a light gonna shine, happiness ain't a crime, don't let your dreams slip away, baby now is your time, get your crown gonna shine, just like a light gonna shine, happiness ain't a crime, don't let your dreams slip away. Baby, now is your time. Get your crown gonna shine.
I refuse to dim my light. I'ma shine bright my whole life. I had to fight just to get my mind right. My back against the wall. Got the weight of the world on my shoulders. Will I hold or will I fall? See, every situation you get a chance to be a victim or a victor. You better seek help, get you a mentor. You better dig deep, deep to the core. Remember that this battle in life is not yours, it's the Lord's. Having conversations with God because he let me beat the odds. I trust him, see that's my ride or die. And we don't do no negative thoughts, no bad energy around this way. It's all positive vibes. I had to question myself if I was ready for